This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
What's up, people? I hope everybody's doing awesome today. I'm super excited about this episode's guest. Today, we got the incredible, the talented, the ultra-lyrical wordsmith, one of the coldest spitters that Las Vegas has ever seen. No cap, no Cappington. The man, the myth, the motherfucking legend. Everybody give it up for T-Rab. Let's go.
Into the mic, and so catches it. Yeah, I mean, you already know how to work the mic. Yeah, yeah. T-Rab in the building. What's up, man?
What's popping, bro?
God damn, bro. I was looking forward to this shit for a minute, bro. No, like when I started, I knew like I had an idea of like who I would want to come on and talk to. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you was for sure at the top of the list.
Bro, you know it's all love, bro.
Yeah, man.
I know we had the conversation about you doing the podcast a while ago.
Yeah.
But since you started dropping the joints, I've been tuning in, and it's dope, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
All the people that you had, real great conversations. I'm learning shit from people I know, hearing them talk about different things. So
yeah,
I was excited to come on, bro.
I appreciate it, man. That's the goal, really. You know what I mean? Because it's like we'll have conversations outside of just like in passing or whatever on the phone,
but it's
different when you're sitting at a table and like you know what I'm saying? It's just me and you, and we you know what I'm saying? We get to really chop it up and peel back some layers and go into depth about some shit. So,
right,
man. And I have a lot to ask you, bro.
And you got the social distance table too. Which is about, it's about 12 feet.
It's about 8 feet, bro. This is a
regulation goal.
Man, what? This shit was perfect, bro. The stars align with this motherfucker. I might have got shut down. If we turn the table diagonal or whatever it is, or vertical or whatever, we might
It'll be too close, bro. I thought you had did it on purpose. I said, damn, he got the Game of Thrones shit up there.
No, I think we might. We were just talking about it. I think we are going to turn it, though. Just to be closer. Yeah, but just for the shot, for the angle.
I mean, it looks great for the view. Like the camera view, it looks fucking dope.
Awesome. Appreciate it, man. I love hearing feedback. It's weird, bro. This is weird, like, starting this and doing this and, like, getting this running. I feel like I can relate to a lot of artists, like, trying to push their shit and market themselves. It's crazy how people you think would just be support you like that, like, don't really... You know what I'm saying?
Man, it's surprising, bro. It's surprising, bro. It's one of those things where you get like, you got a lot of people that you close to and they might not care about it at all. And then you have random people that you barely know and they excited waiting for the next thing to happen. Like, it's weird, bro.
Yeah. It's like you get more love from people you don't even know.
Right. Because for them, it's like it's one of those weird things, bro. It's like when you know somebody personally, it's just it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. And you kind of like... Well, I think familiarity is a thing, too. You know, like, you familiar with somebody, you, like, you're not, like, I don't know, it's a weird thing that goes on in a human brain that's, like, I don't know, bro. I don't know how to explain it. You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, it's like celebrity.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think people that, like, support you because they don't, more so people that don't know you because they can't, like, they don't have direct access to you.
Right.
So then that mystique is there type shit, you know what I mean? But, But, man, I'm glad I caught you in town, man. How long has it been since you've been back to Vegas?
It's probably been, like, 3 months, 3 or 4 months.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
So you in L.A. now?
Yeah.
Yeah? What you doing out there?
I'm really chilling right now, you know. I was trying to do my thing, but, you know, everything kind of slow motion right now.
Yeah. Man. With the music?
Yeah. So, hey, ain't no shows going on. Mm-hmm. Ain't too much happening right now. So.
Did you move out there, like, when the quarantine hit?
It was pretty much right before they started locking everything down real crazy. Because I ended up getting a furlough from the little gig I was working, and I was like, shit, I got all the time in the world now. You feel me? So my girl, she was moving out there, so I said, fuck it, I'm going to just come out, you know, see what's going on out there, and end up being there for some months.
Yeah, have you moved around to L.A. before?
I've done a few shows out there, but whenever I had anything going, I would go for that day or that couple days, and then I was right back to Vegas. Yeah. I never was out there for no time.
Yeah, so you never really politicked out there?
Nah, why not at all.
Why not?
I don't know, bro. It's weird, bro. Like, whenever I would go, like, say we have, like, a little show, I'll go, we do my set, or we might go fuck with Fairfax or something like that.
Yeah.
But I never spent a lot of time out there. But that's one of those ideas that's always been echoed in my mind, like, bro, for years. It's like, bro, why don't you just move here? Why don't you move here? You know what I mean? It's right across the way. Like,
yeah, it's right down the street. I tell a lot of artists that I talk to, I tell them spend as much time in L.A. as you can. But right. maybe that might be the wrong thing to do, because I feel like it's easy to get lost in the sauce out there. And, yeah. and you kind of want to, like, you know, you coming up in Vegas, you being a Vegas representative, being in Vegas is important.
Right, right. Know? And that's something I always thought about, too, because I always feel like I'm a Vegas artist, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To the core, like, and that's always going to be the case. Mm-hmm. So I feel... It felt weird for me when I moved out of North Las Vegas and was living in a different part of Las Vegas. That shit felt weird. So for me to be in a whole nother, you know, a whole nother state, a whole nother city, it was just like, I don't know. But at the same time, you feel me? Sometimes you got to step outside, you know, to really make things go the way that you want them to.
Yeah, it helps you grow in that way. And definitely. I think it, has it helped you, like, look at Vegas differently or seen it from a different angle? Or see what's going on in the city from a different perspective?
It's weird because it's still the same perspective, but it's kind of like an outside looking in type of deal. Even though it's still, like, I still got the same timeline. Ain't like I got an L.A. timeline and then, like, it's still the same shit, but it's like a different perspective now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. I know L.A. is kind of weird, though. You know what I mean? It's a whole different vibe.
It's kind of groovy out there, bro.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on out
there. It's a lot of shit going on, bro. Yeah. But I like the energy of it, though, too, because it's like, you just everybody on a hustle out there, bro. Yeah. That's all you see.
Yeah, I think it's important for a lot of artists in Vegas to tap in with L.A. just for business purposes, you know. Yeah. And I think, like, I was talking to Teej just yesterday. He was in the studio over here before I got on the podcast with Nick and then. But I was talking to him, and we were talking about kind of doing the politic game, you know, kind of just, like, talking to people and, like, networking and shit. And I feel like a lot of artists forget or don't take that into account as they're, like, marketing themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or trying to work their way up, you know? Do you feel like you're good at that?
Bro, I'm terrible at that. Yeah. I'm gonna be honest, because I'm not a social person. I've never really been a social person, so.
Yeah.
And I kind of had the perspective of me being an artist.
Yep.
So I'm not trying to always have those type of conversations and all. Sometimes I'm really just posted, so. When I look back at all the different opportunities, I've been around different people. Mm-hmm. I do feel like I should have talked a little bit more. I should have, you know, but I just never been like a talkative person.
Locked in, and you're an artist. Yeah, and you're an artist.
I do my thing and get out the way, bro.
Yeah. So you feel like you need a manager? Because I know you used to work with Christian.
We did our thing for a long time. But but I think that the manager thing is essential to a lot of different parts of what you're trying to do, especially if you're not gonna be able to do them yourself.
Yeah.
Not saying that I can't, but for some people it's harder to, you know, get in those different rooms and have those conversations. And sometimes people don't want to talk to the artist.
Yeah.
They want to talk to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You have what was I gonna say? Oh, well, Christian. So so y'all was working together. So you guys, like, started out together.
Yeah. Bro approached me and, like,
that's like, bro, that duo right ago. There, bro.
Bro, he's a genius, bro.
He is.
He's a genius, bro.
So are you. So I was like, yo, him being behind the camera and just knowing Christian, he's how professional he is,
and how
intelligent he is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's crazy, bro. That's like just to see where he's at now. It's just like it's a
bro,
beautiful
it was
thing.
It was so random, bro. But we had like linked up to do like a photo shoot, bro, a long time ago. He was still in high school, I think.
Yeah.
And that was when he was just doing like the photography thing.
Yeah.
And we just did like some little photos. I was trying to make some artwork for like a project or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he had kind of like tapped in with me, helped me do that whole thing. And then we ended up linking like a couple years later. I'll never forget, we was in front of Stussy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, bro, like, I've been kind of thinking about doing like this artist, you know, management thing. I want to work with you, whoop-de-whoop. And I'm like, shit, I ain't got nothing to lose. Like, at the time, I wasn't, you know, I'm doing the music, but it's not really doing nothing. You feel me?
Yeah.
So,
What year was this?
This probably 12.
Like money making rap around that time.
Yeah. After that, because I know that the first thing that we did was we had did a mixtape called The Difference 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, this is like 2010 or some shit, bro.
Yeah.
That was like some whatever shit. Like, we dropping that shit on Bandcamp. That shit was years ago.
Yeah.
But the first time we really locked all the way in and doing visuals, doing all that, is when I did Art Always.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit was, that whole thing was crazy, bro.
Yeah.
I think the first video was 30K, bro.
Mm.
We shot that shit in the snow in Mount Charleston, bro.
Yeah,
but that whole,
I remember that shit.
Bro was on some shit, bro. Yeah. And he was getting colder and colder as the process went on.
He took himself serious.
Bro.
Took his shit serious.
The shit we was doing, and, like, when I look back on the shit now, it was just like, bro, niggas just wasn't on that type of wave back then. They wasn't even thinking like that, bro, the shit that we was doing. So
yeah, I think you've been ahead of your time.
I appreciate that, bro.
For sure. You're like, so, bro, I feel like because there's a lot of artists in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
But there's a few, I mean, everybody's a different kind of listener. You know, for me, I'm the listener that appreciates wordplay and thought and cohesiveness, especially when somebody drops a project. Like, I hate these fucking projects that people just throw songs on. You know what I mean? But when you deliver a cohesive project with a theme, and from I can listen to it from top to bottom, bro, that shit makes me warm inside. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, like free throws, bro. I feel like I'm training for the Olympics when free throws comes on, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I can't lose. It still gives me goosebumps, bro. Crazy. When that beat drops, that shit gives me goosebumps to this day. But where does the lyrical inclination come from? Is it a muscle that you've just been working out for years and years or what?
I mean, I honestly feel like I come from that era, bro.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of it is attributed to my upbringing and, you know, what I grew up around. But my pops was an MC from the point when I was, you know, a young kid. So he was, like, on tour and all of that, you know, when I was, like, 4 and 5 doing this independent thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on this shit for a long time. He ended up getting, like, fucked over in his deal. He was in the group.
He was signed to?
Yeah, yeah. So he had like a distribution deal.
Yeah.
And pretty much they had like, he broke bread with a distribution company for them to put the CDs in there. So it was like some half and half type shit. And you know, like when you first, you know, make your first physical CD and that shit is in stores, the first thing you do, you go to the stores to buy your CD and shit. You feel me? So him and his homeboy went, they was going to the different spots to pick up their CDs and their CDs wasn't nowhere, bro. And they end up, you feel me, realizing that.
What happened?
The company just took their guap, bro.
And ran.
Took their guap, bro. And they had put so much bread into it to where they really didn't have the money to try to take them to court or anything like that. So, but he's the one who, he taught me all of this shit, bro. Yeah. He taught me music. He taught me production, all of that shit. Mm-hmm. And my uncles and all of that. Like, everybody just listened to hip-hop, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was the shit I would listen to. And that's what I started to like was lyrical music.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely a hip hop head, and it shows, and you could just hear it in your rhymes and your references and all that. And I love how you like. Yeah, the other day you was breaking down a bar about the rising sun.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, man, you need to do that shit. You need to make a whole YouTube channel doing that shit, bro. Because that shit is like, I was like, damn, what? How much time do you spend writing?
Bro, sometimes I do shit quick, and sometimes take time because it's like I've been rapping for so long to where I be having to do I have to stop and fact check and look shit up and
that's because
sometimes
thing,
you get to
though.
Rap and you're doing your thing and you thinking like okay that shit is right
but
then like sometimes I've made songs and I'll go and like look back and I'm like that reference is wrong or something isn't right about that or I said that the wrong way pronounced it the wrong way so some I'll come up with some shit and I'll stop okay let me look this up and make sure this is right like.
Yeah.
Like, I had the line about the league tried to ban me like the Jordan 1s. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, let me go do the knowledge on the whole. Because we all know that story about Mike had the Jordan 1s. And the uniform, it was your shoe was supposed to be mostly white and whatever the team color was, like accent. Mm-hmm. And he came out and had a black shoe with the red on it, with the first Jordan 1s.
Yeah.
But I ended up finding out, doing the research, that the shoe that he got banned over wasn't the Jordan 1s. It was a whole, I can't remember the name of the shoe, but Nike made a shoe before that, like a placeholder, while they were like creating the Jordan 1, and that was the shoe that they tripped out over.
It was
the same colorway and all of that.
Okay.
But Nike kind of ran with the whole
Jordan 1, because
they marketed it. You feel me? Yeah. So them talking about the shoe was banned and
so it's kind of a false narrative.
Yeah. It's one of them legends that end up living on and all of that, bro. It made that shoe like super iconic, bro.
Right. But you had to go and make sure that. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I appreciate you as an artist, bro, because you know your listeners, because when you drop music, your listeners are going to expect a certain thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know what I'm saying, people probably going to fact check you too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because it's one of them things, bro. It's like, damn, if that shit ain't right, bro, it's like I'm bullshitting, bro. So I got to try to make sure, you know, I'm doing this shit the right way, bro.
Yeah. When'd you pick up a mic?
The first time I rapped, bro, I was a kid, bro. I can't remember how old I was.
Okay.
But my pops had wrote me a rap, And that was the first song I ever made, bro. I probably was in maybe elementary school.
Okay, I got you now.
He wrote me a rap on some like Lil Bow Wow shit. You know what I mean?
He was molding you.
You feel me? It was really on some on that type of vibe. You feel me? So. So I can't say nobody ever wrote my raps. Someone wrote a rap for me one time in my life, so I might be in that Drake category now.
Cool. Damn, you got Pops writing raps for you? Bro, let us find out. All this shit.
He goes wrote my first shit, bro. I'm talking about riding big wheels and different all type of other shit, bro.
Yeah, you guys still close, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does he feel? Like, obviously, he got to be super proud of you.
Man, he's been with me every step of the way, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
For real. Because he started, after he stopped rapping and all of that, he still produced, but he started to DJ.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my shows, he would be the DJ for me.
Oh,
so
nice.
Like I do like a hard rock or I do a lot of these different venues, he'll come spin for me.
Yeah. So you got music. It's just in you.
Yeah,
it's not on you. It's in you.
I was born into this shit.
Yeah. So how do you feel about, like, the music industry in as far as, because you've been at it for damn near over a decade now.
Yeah.
And you still young. Still a young dude. You still got probably the best years ahead of you, in my opinion.
Thanks.
And I know you gotta be frustrated on some levels with the industry part of it.
Yeah, I mean, the game is the game, bro.
Yeah.
And I think my biggest issue was that I really didn't want to play the game, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, You gotta conform somewhat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You gotta conform somewhat, bro. So that was my whole thing, was that I never wanted to. I didn't want to play no games, bro. I didn't want to do the politics shit and, you feel me, shaking hands and dealing with people I didn't really fuck with.
All
of that shit. Like, I just you feel me? And I always had an issue to where, like, you really can see how I feel on my face, bro. So it's hard for me to, like, try to bullshit or.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, though. But I also think, like, if this is what you want, bro, you're going to have to, what I'm saying?
Find a way.
You got to color inside the lines a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, are you looking for a deal? Or are you just, you got an open mind to whatever comes your way? I don't feel like you even.
Nah, I mean, if it was up to me, I'd do everything independent, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I never was trying to get a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, you feel me, not saying if somebody came with the right jug, I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no, I never, because I always looked at my shit like I was really an artist, bro. I look
at
my
shit
like somebody painting, bro, like, you know, feel me? So
it's definitely, you don't got no gimmicky shit going on.
Nah,
and I think that could scare labels away a little bit, because they don't know what to do with artists like you. You know what I'm saying? Like a Lil Pump or somebody like that, gimmicky, they got to. You know what I'm saying? They do a whole bunch of extra shit on social media, dyeing their hair a whole bunch of different colors and shit. Like, that's right up their alley. You know what I mean?
Especially more so now, because image is everything. Perception is everything. So they selling you before the music even come out.
Yeah. So when you first started, like, really putting out music and, like, when was your first project? Like, a real, like, was it like 2000? Was it Money Making Rap, or was it before that?
My first CD was
Was it in high school still?
Yeah, I was in high school.
Mm.
My first CD was called The Truth.
Mm.
I put it out. I think it was like 11th grade or 12th grade.
Okay.
And that shit was garbage, bro. But at the time,
is it still alive on the internet?
No, nah, man.
You took it down.
I hope niggas can't find that shit, bro. Bro.
Oh, that's funny.
Bro, I must have tried to hide that motherfucker.
That's funny.
That shit is garbage.
Hey, but
bro.
You know what? That goes back to a point that I try to make with a lot of up and coming artists now that I come across, is that, like, you know, they just start rapping like last year or 2 months ago, and then they just put out a song and shit. Like, bro, your first impression is really important. And I tell them, like, bro, you need to be in a studio for months and months and hours and hours before you put anything out, bro.
Bro, I'm tell you what the crazy thing about music is, like, when you first start making that shit, bro, can't nobody tell you that shit not hard, bro.
Yeah.
It really takes time for you to get good, and you can look back like, bro, that shit is Reggie, bro.
Yeah. There's levels to it.
Yeah.
Song structure.
When you first starting, you really can't hear that. It's even hard for someone else to tell you that, you know, this shit isn't good, or you don't have a voice yet. You know how, like, even like having your voice, that shit take time.
Yeah. finding, like, even because a lot of people start when they're young, they don't even know who they are.
Right, right. Saying?
So, but I think a lot of artists, man, they just got yes men, or like, you know what I'm saying, a lot around them or their homies, you know what I mean? Just, it's just like, for me, like, some of my homies put out whack shit. Bro, I'm not fucking with it. I'm not gonna.
You gonna tell them straight up?
Yeah, I'm just I gotta. Or yeah, I guess. I mean, but I can't act like I'm just gonna promote this shit and.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But I think a lot of people are scared of being labeled a hater.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they just support anything and everything.
I mean, bro, for me, I don't be liking a lot of shit, bro. But for me, I don't really try to. If somebody asks me. You feel me?
Yeah,
if I can't tell them why I don't like it, then I won't say anything about it. Mm-hmm. You feel me? It's cool. You feel me? If I can't tell you, like, you know, the different things that could make it better, if I don't know, I'm just going to be, you feel me, this shit cool. Because I feel like I don't be trying to kill people whole, you know, they whole vibe. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I be trying not to shit on people, bro.
It's hard, though, sometimes, bro. It's hard. Well, for me, it is.
Because some people need that. Some people can take the criticism and some people can't, bro.
Yeah.
You feel me?
No, 100%. But I feel like people need to be shitted on sometimes in the sense of that's gas. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's fire. I mean, I think we've all, at some point in our life as a kid or whatever, somebody said, yo, you ain't shit. You suck.
Right,
that's the one thing you needed to light that real fire in your ass to really step your
game
up.
But that's the thing. It's like it's different for different people.
Yeah.
Because some people, like, that'll give you the energy that you need. Mm-hmm. And then for other people, even when you was a kid, like, it's some kids where it's like, bro, you're terrible. Like, you'll be hooping. It's like, bro, you're trash. You're terrible.
Of course, they all
They don't want to play no more.
Yeah.
And then you got other kids where it's like, now they playing harder. Now they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's different for everybody. I feel what you're saying, though. But it's like, to me, you never know how it's going to affect somebody. Because that can throw somebody's whole trajectory off.
True.
You know what
that
I mean?
One
to where
comment,
it's like,
yeah.
I'm not even doing this shit no more, bro. I'm terrible.
Yeah. Well, maybe then you wasn't supposed to be doing it in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Fuck, but damn, bro. I don't know if you want to come up on here just talking about rap all the time or the whole time, but I just really love you as an artist, bro.
Bro, I appreciate it.
You
always show love, and I appreciate it, bro. You've always shown love since I've met you, bro.
Yeah, well, it's like, bro, I'm a fan for real. I'm saying, like, I'm a fan for real. I'm impressed. But when I think about watching you on your journey and to where you've gotten. Your point now and your skill set. Who like from Vegas has inspired you or motivated you? Like other artists. Like who do you fuck with, especially on a lyrical level?
I think my biggest influence Vegas wise is SU. You gotta be SU, bro. SU and Shadru.
Mm-hmm.
You know, TV. I fuck with TV too, but that was like later on. I was already rapping once I started hearing Trey, but. Me being a kid and going to Cheyenne, you know, that's where SU went. So he was like a legend,
legend.
You feel me, in high school, bro. So
yeah.
I was listening to his shit just like any other rapper, bro. That was, you feel me?
Yeah, the flu.
So, bro.
The flu.
That nigga was rapping on another level, bro.
Bro.
So that was the first, like, that was the first local nigga, you feel me? Him and I was listening to Jay Weez and Black Meez, a lot of different people, but
they
SU,
was all, yeah, yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
was, it was a lot of niggas who was nice, bro.
Yeah.
But SU was like,
on a, yeah, his mystique. He had, well, me,
it was
me,
different,
me
bro.
And Trey was talking about it the other day. He was like, SU had that mystique, bro. You know what I mean?
But for me, it wasn't even that because we went to school with the nigga. We seen the nigga all the time. But
no,
it was
like,
when his ability was just, it was just shoulders above everybody else, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It was really like he was a man, nigga, rapping with kids, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was crazy. And the battles and him going from school to school and trashing niggas, like, that was the first time I seen that either, where you had somebody who was, you know, quote unquote, a battle rapper, but his music was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not for real. These young cats don't even know who SU is, and I be having to put them up on game, bro. I had to send Abu.
He never heard SU?
Bro, I was pissed. I had to send Abu.
No,
bro. I had to send Abu.
The niggas that he grew up around, he never heard SU.
Bro, maybe he did. He forgot. He didn't know what I was talking about. But I had to send him links to SU's battles on YouTube that are still up, you know?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I remember watching him, P Fire, you know, like,
P-Fire
you
was
know,
cold too.
Yeah, we kind of grew up.
Yeah, Ruga Rico,
man. What? We kind of grew up on. on them. Like, look, like, it's crazy. Like, when I was a kid, I never even thought about rapping or even being, like, I was watching them because my brother kind of hung around them, too.
Right.
And I was, so I was always, like, looked up to them. But I didn't know they was only, like, a year older than me, you know what I'm saying? Bro. But they was, like, I was like, damn, yo, these motherfuckers was tight, bro. I want to hang out with them.
That shit inspired me, bro.
No, bro,
watching the shit they was on, they had me really looking like, bro, yeah. Like, being a local rapper is low-key cool, bro. Like,
bro.
That shit
yeah.
kind of hard, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I remember watching P-Fire going back and forth to New York. And them doing like, you know, rapping out there and those little, like when videos, just like we didn't see videos of our friend like we do now.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, what do we have? MySpace?
We had, and that's the crazy shit about SU, bro. I don't think SU has a music video, bro.
That's crazy.
When I think about that, I'm like, bro, everybody knew about this nigga, bro, on some word of mouth, hand to hand, like physically had the CD.
Mm-hmm.
This was like maybe on a cusp of MySpace. It wasn't no. He wasn't the nigga on social media. Like, he was the nigga in real life, bro.
Yeah.
That shit is craziness to me, bro.
Yeah, and Toxic reflects that, too.
Bro, Toxic is ridiculous, bro.
Motherfucker's so hard, and bro. People, he's crazy.
You telling me about lyricism? Bro, that nigga's vocabulary
is
ridiculous,
stupid,
bro.
Stupid, bro.
Rap his ass off, bro.
Man, that's why when I was talking to Brandon, like, you, Tox, and Fats, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out Brandon, bro.
Yeah, shout out Brandon.
Feel me?
Yeah, that's like he's like the secret, the secret weapon out here.
Facts.
You know,
he the nigga behind the scenes, moving hella strings and
he's
shit.
He's like,
but niggas don't know.
Bro, he's like, what's the analogy? He's like Oz, bro.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
He got me my first big like placement, bro. Like
with Dax, right?
Yeah, Daxic.
Daxic.
He hooked me up with my first like big placement.
Mm-hmm. You know, what was that experience like for you?
That shit was crazy, bro. It was a wild opportunity, bro. Like to
something you would never expect on EDM.
Just
you know?
Some random shit, bro. And it was like, fuck it, yeah, I'll do it, bro. Send me the joint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that was like that was the first opportunity I got to where I'm on somebody else shit, getting paid quarterly, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, I do gotta say, they hit bro with the Bill Cosby, bro, the dude Daxic, pretty much for me. Some women that came forward and said he had did some.
God,
you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know where that shit stands at, like case wise. If you end up, you know what I'm saying? But let me just go ahead and say, you feel me? We not rocking like that. You feel me on this side at all? But
damn, that's crazy. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, bro. It was crazy. It was all around the same time, bro.
Oh, really? Oh, that was at that.
This was all the same. It's all around the same time. By the time, I had a couple joints on his record. That record comes out, then, bro. Like around the time of that release, women start coming forward, bro, saying like they was some along the lines of them being drugged and. You know what I mean?
Damn,
sexual
bro.
Assault, stuff
yo,
like that.
Yo, when are you going to learn? You ain't getting away with the shits, bro.
Like I said, I don't know where that shit stands.
Yeah,
I don't know,
yeah.
But it was one of them situations where it's a lot of allegations,
yeah,
bro,
yeah.
To where it's like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was right. It was all around the same time, bro, like step right on his release. And like that community, the EDM community, they kind of got him out of here, bro.
Oh, damn, for real?
Yeah. They kind of got him out of
here. Damn, I'm going to ask Brandon about that. That's crazy.
It was unfortunate. Like I said, I never really met him. I never really worked with him directly or anything, so I can't really try to speak on his character. Like, nah, he wouldn't do that. Or I don't really know him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, you feel me? Yeah. I wasn't trying to take it there, but
nah, we just had.
I do want to speak on it because I am.
You're associated. Yeah,
you
know?
I'm on his album, bro.
Yeah, you had to make the disclaimer, but. So what other big moments like that though in your career that you vividly like were like damn that shit like it was like a turning point, it could be like,
bro, it's been a lot of different moments, bro.
Yeah,
been a lot of different moments. I feel like any artist would tell you like it's some times where it's like I'm right at the door, bro. Like I'm just open this door on the other side. It's gonna be some mansion.
Yeah.
It's gonna be for me the bras from XXL.
Yeah.
It's like, but I feel like the craziest moment, one of the craziest moments was when I opened up for YG, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Shout out Purple Crown. They had put me on to do that show. And, bro, that shit was, this was my crazy life, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that album?
Rock Live, yeah.
That album was going crazy at that time. So They, I think I opened up for them either the first night or the second night. I think it was the second night. The first night they tried to bring Nipsey out and gang unit and damn near shut the whole shit down.
Oh damn!
But bro, they brought me out for that show, bro. I think my pop spun for that shit too. But they went, you know, they do like your little intro or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was the first time like, okay, we got coming to the stage. They said my shit and bro, it was loud in there, bro.
Oh,
like
word.
It was really loud in that motherfucker. I'm like, oh shit, like
yeah, this is really happening. Yeah.
Cause most of the time you open it up, ain't nobody trying to hear your shit, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a lot of my people there.
Yeah.
You feel me? A lot of people who fuck with me, who fuck with YG, who, mm-hmm. you know, who wanted to see me, but also was like, shit, YG performing, so we gonna pull up. But bro, that shit was crazy, bro. Yeah. That shit was a wild experience, bro.
Did you meet YG?
Nope. Like I said, being on my antisocial shit, bro.
Oh, you had a chance to, though?
Didn't even try to, bro.
Damn.
Is it, like I said, it's a lot of people I met.
Yeah, it's weird, though. Like, you kind of don't want to put yourself in a position to be out here looking.
Yeah. And like, a lot of artists don't, like, I won't say artists, but a lot of people don't know. When you're doing shows like that, it's not like we all just in the same area posted, like, nigga, our green room isn't their green room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And like, the main act usually don't even want to be bothered. Anyway.
And times that, nigga, when you performing, a lot of the times, them niggas not even at the venue yet.
Yeah.
They not even there yet. Just to be real, bro, they're not even there.
Yeah, they showing up and leaving.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So usually I do my shit and I get out. So I don't really, you feel me? So I didn't even meet him that day. I met him before, because I opened up for YG, nigga, years ago at Daddy Max, bro, mm-hmm. when Tooted and Booted was out. I met him then, but I didn't really talk to him or nothing when I did the Hard Rock show.
Yeah, no, I feel you. It's weird, bro. Like meeting people that celebrities. Like I don't know, man. Like when I remember meeting Paul Wall backstage, and it was just like I just my brain went into too cool mode. You know what I'm saying? I was like I was fanning out on the inside, but my brain was just like yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I overextended my calmness, and
I
acted too cool. You know what I'm saying? And
And
he was cool, and I had an opportunity to really, I could have smoked with him and everything, but I just was like, I felt like I was being thirsty or something, but it's not even about that. Like, if you want to show love. But I got to get over that too, bro. I feel you.
Bro, it's one of them things, bro, because like I said, I look back on it, and it's like, I've been around so many people, and it's not like I've never talked to anybody, but... Mm-hmm. I've had those conversations, but I look back and I think all of them I missed out on.
Yeah.
And not even on some trying to show somebody your music or just talking to somebody, genuinely just having a conversation with them, bro.
Yeah. I feel you, bro. So what's next for you, though, musically?
Right now I'm working on a lot of shit, bro. I actually came back out here to get my mic and all of that different shit because I didn't have my setup. I didn't even plan on being in L.A. for that long, so I came back to get everything, but... I got a lot of different shit I'm working on. I'm working on the EP right now, just trying to get that finished. So that'll be the next thing.
Hello. So you working on a project? How many songs?
I wanted to do 5. Every time I try to do that, I end up turning it to like a full CD. But I'm gonna try to do 5 joints and see how.
I know you got like probably 3,000 songs in the
vault. Bro, I got so much music, bro. But after time goes on, I don't really fuck with it no more. So that's why shit don't be coming out, bro.
Oh, bro, you just gotta let it loose, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? I hear stories all the time about like songs that the artist didn't think was gonna be it, and then the people just ran with it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you get tired of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You make the music, and for me, I record it and engineer it, mix it. By that time, bro, I'm already tired of that song, bro.
Yeah, but we're not tired of it.
Right. That's what everybody always say. That's why shit don't end up coming out because you sit on it for too long.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like, I don't know, man. This is like the conversation I had with Teddy, too. Like, he don't release music. And I'm just like, bro,
it's an artist thing, bro.
But I know, but I'm just like.
But you're right, though, in what you're saying. You're right in what you're saying, though, because the music needs to come out, bro. It's not doing nothing on your laptop.
It's not. And I'm just like, especially with artists like you and like Teddy. And I'm just like, bro, it's like you shooting yourself in the foot. You're not giving yourself a fair chance.
Nigga Teddy cold too.
Cold, bro. He's so hard, bro. And he don't even know how hard. I think he does know. It's just like, you know what I mean? Like, man, I don't know how to get through to him.
Bro, I done heard a lot of different hooks, bro, done put together where I'm like, bro, this shit need to be on the radio right now.
Bro, I don't know what his hold up is. But apparently, y'all got the same thing going on.
Yeah, it's one of them things, bro.
But at least you put out more music than him, no way.
I mean, because you try to do your thing, but you know, you artists get hard on they get down on themselves too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, damn, is this shit really that? Is this that John Blaze shit? Is it really that hard? Is it tough? Is it? Yeah. Well, I'm kind of fucking with it. I'm kind of not.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You deal with self doubt a lot.
A little bit. You feel me? A little bit. I feel like we all do as artists though, because you always get to a point to where you start thinking about the listener.
Yeah.
And I feel like you need that in music, but at the same time, I feel like you can lose your way like that.
Yeah, you don't want to cater too much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because now you like
you're getting away from what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you feel like you just need you just want your music to be packaged the right way? Is that part of the holdup?
For me, it's the quality, bro. It's the quality, and I like my music to reflect who I am at that moment. So whenever I go to like to make a project, I always think like who am I right now? Like, what, you feel me? What's going on in my life? Where am I at? So when you start to make music and just sit around, you feel me? You go, okay, I made that song too long ago for it to matter right now. When you look at the grand scheme of what you're trying to put together.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of. It'll mess things up a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, I feel you. Man, I just got a whole bunch of ideas for you right now, man. It's just going through my head, bro. Like, if you put like little 10-song projects of unreleased music and sold them bitches for 50 a pop, just limited quality. Bro, you got people waiting on your shit, bro.
I'm already known, bro.
50 ain't, bro. Bro, that's...
I don't know if they're going to pay 50, though. You think that niggas paying 50 for a CD?
Yeah.
You can see the vision?
I gotta
bundle it like Nicki Minaj, or I can just sell the CD.
No, you don't gotta bundle it. You can just sell the CD. And you probably throw a sticker in there. You know what I'm saying? But bro.
And he said, this nigga better be spitting for $50, nigga. This shit better be immaculate.
No, because you have people, because you've been doing it for so long, and now you have your fan base to where like you have a legitimate fan base that's been with you for a decade. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're willing to, they've already invested so much into you. That they're willing to invest more into you. You just gotta give them the opportunity. It's like when Nipsey sold them CDs for $100.
Yeah.
Bro, them shit sold the fuck out.
He was that nigga though. He wasn't a homie.
Bro, but still, he has real people fucking with him. He don't have internet people like
right.
You know what I'm saying? He has a real fan base that is familiar with, or you do. You know what I'm saying? The same thing you do. You have real people. That you have a product. You have a demand, bro. But you got to supply that shit.
I'm going to tell you this. You feel me? When I start selling my shit and they start sweating me, I'm going to say, hey, he told me, my nigga, you're going to have to write a check to buy this right now, bro.
Bro,
because you probably don't have the cash on you.
Charge for them, bro. Just have your Venmo ready. Have that Square ready. Have that cash ad
with
ready.
The rack like Nip did. I'm going to need a rack, bro.
Bro. I don't know about
it. Right. Okay, I'm going to need a rack.
Not in a pandemic, bro.
But some of these niggas having the most money they ever had in their life right now, bro.
I know. You taking installment plans for the CD?
Yeah, I mean, hey,
I know.
Make a little bread.
Yeah, but that's something you might want to think about, though.
No, I'm a receiver.
Money,
yeah, I ain't going
to. That's money on the table.
You feel me? I receive what you're saying, bro. I ain't going to,
If you need help, bro, I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to have
you. You telling me, maybe niggas will break bread. Maybe they'll split that 100 in half, my nigga, for the new rap.
Nah, for real. I would. I would for sure drop 50 right now.
That's a fact?
Bro, yeah, I just bought a shirt off you for 30.
And you the only nigga with that. Hey, me and you, it's only two shirts on earth right now.
Hey, you know what? Hold on.
And yours in rotation right now. You official now.
Boom. I'll pay $50 for your shit. So.
See, that's what's up, bro.
That's what's up. Hey, who got this shirt? Who got this shirt?
That shit look good, bro.
Come on, man. Proper representation right here, bro.
No, that's a fact.
So what is, I guess that's a stupid question. I was gonna ask you what inspired the T-shirt, but that's a stupid question.
Oh, yeah.
That's a stupid question.
Yeah. Hey, North Las Vegas, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, you've been repping Northtown before Northtown was cool to rep.
Hey, niggas be mad when I say that, bro. Hey, it's a fact, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not the nigga. I'm not. I didn't create this shit. I wasn't the first nigga to say Northtown. You know what I mean? But the run that you feel me that
people
we
get
had,
mad at you.
People get mad at me for a lot of shit, bro. A lot of you feel me, but between me, you know, Trey. You feel me? You know, it was a lot of different artists. You feel me? And as far as, you know, kill off and the Northtown shit.
Yeah.
You feel me? We ushered in that whole wave of niggas saying, like, I'm from Northtown.
Right? Yeah.
Because even when I was growing up, where we was at in North Las Vegas, everybody told you they was from the West Side, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's where they grandma stayed, and it was cooler to say that.
Yeah, for real. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is what it is, bro.
So, but you went to Cheyenne, though, so there was a lot of motherfuckers from the West Side.
Yeah, yeah. Shit, my family from the West Side. You know what I mean? Yeah, but I grew up in Northtown.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody want to be from the North now.
I watched the change. That's why niggas, you can't tell me anything different because I watched the transition, bro.
You made it cool.
I didn't do it single-handedly, but me and my niggas had a very big influence on niggas saying, you know what I mean?
1,000%, bro.
It's almost like on the Tupac shit when he talk about, like, nigga, I inspired the next person.
Yeah.
You feel me? So we inspired niggas to inspire niggas to, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But now it's cool shit.
Because I remember when I started working, like when I was like 22, I started working on the strip and all that, and I would tell people what's our town I grew up on, where I'm from, right. What school I went to. They'll look at me like, what?
I ain't even
like, you from a different...
Bro, I got a job in Summerlin, bro, and that was the first time I even realized, like, people looked at Northtown like that.
Yeah,
like, I would say I live in North Las Vegas, and they was looking at me like, oh, shitty. You know what I mean? Like, damn, I ain't know it was the hood. Like, because like I said, my family from the West. Yeah. Like, I was born in a jet, so... Yeah. It ain't like I'm not living in the projects no more. Nigga, mm-hmm. these regular ass houses, like,
yeah.
And they looking like, oh well, yeah, North Las.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
They don't even come through there like that. That's what I'm saying. You feel me? And it was worse before. And we talking about the new North Las Vegas. As they build it on to it and all of that.
Yeah,
it ain't that crazy over there. I mean, shit goes, man, but it's crazy everywhere, bro.
Yeah, it is. It is for sure. I was talking to G Reed about this. I was seeing for a year or two ago, I was seeing people from Centennial and Harbor View and Shadow Ridge repping Northtown and all that. I'm like,
and you never heard that before that point.
Never, bro. I was nigga, like, but, that ain't, nigga. That ain't, I was
before
like,
then.
Come on, man. But I didn't want to, that's like a battle I didn't even want to fight, bro.
No, but real, like at the end of the day, hey, shout out to Twins, bro, because you feel me, the Twins, they grew up in Centennial Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas went to Bishop Gorman, but they Northtown niggas still. You feel me?
I look at them. Dior?
Dior. They're Northtown niggas to me. You know what I mean? When I say the twins, nigga.
Okay, yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is, bro. I'm not the police, bro.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a battle I wanted to fight, but I was, you know, I peeped it and I was like,
it's just to me, like,
that's a stretch.
But at the same time, I try not to, you feel me, get too emotional about it because the whole point of me coming at the music shit the way I did was to empower North Las Vegas,
exactly.
bro. I wanted niggas to feel proud of where they was from.
Yeah.
And I feel like the outcome was that.
People trying to hop on a wave. Yeah.
So, you know.
It's love at the end of the day. Yeah, I feel you. I didn't look at it like that.
Yeah, so, like, you know what I mean? Because once you, like, you got accepted, like, G Reed, he got accepted by the circle. He wasn't just some random mm-hmm. nigga trying to say, okay, yeah, you feel me, I'm from the North. Like, he got accepted by the circle, so it's like...
He got initiated.
Yeah, you know, I can feel that, but it's a lot of niggas where it's like, it only matters because everybody else is saying it now. You want to be from Northtown and all that, but that's what I mean. You feel me? I went through the shit for that. You feel me? I went through a lot of shit for saying, bro, I'm from Northtown, bro.
Yeah. By your own family, too, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I caught flack from them, you know what I mean? You feel me? Because they West Side to the death, bro. You feel me? They really West
that's
Side.
That's dope,
you know
though,
I mean?
that you went and created your own identity.
Yeah. Because for me, it's like, you know, it's part of who I am. That's mm-hmm. where I grew up at. So, yeah, they wasn't trying to... When I made a song called Northtown, and they wasn't, you feel me? That song was going crazy, but they wasn't feeling that shit. My family wasn't feeling that shit, bro.
He's like, nigga. He's like, you a traitor.
He said, nigga, you was born on the West Side.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
But it's, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, they show love. You know what I mean? They see what it is now. That's where I grew up at.
Yeah, hell yeah. Man, you and G Reed, y'all a dynamic duo on the song, bro.
This nigga's, he's one of the coldest niggas, bro.
Yeah, he's one of the coldest niggas, bro. Yeah. Nah, because he's a hip-hop head, too.
And it
reflects, you know. It's like a sport. That's what I look at you and Toxic and G Reed and Fats and these kind of artists as sportsmen. Yeah. You know, you do it for sport. You're not doing it for the bitch. You ain't gonna see a whole bunch of bitches in your video shaking booty. I mean, that would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be nice.
I'll be trying not to objectify the women.
Yeah, we don't do that.
You know what I'm saying? But like you said, it is a sport though, because you feel me, it's some niggas who they more worried about their cleats and they their uni looking right than you actually being good at what they doing. You know what I'm saying?
100%. That's a great analogy. For real. Because you always got that motherfucker on the team that got the wristband.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Band, headband. I remember watching Michael Jordan's son play back in the day, and he was like switching shoes at halftime and all that shit. I'm like, bro, he's out here.
Come on, man. Come on. But that sportsmanship and that's what makes, you know, and I'm not for like beefing or nothing, you know what I'm saying? But like I would love to see you in a rap battle with somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Because
of the competition can take you know, like sports is can be so addicting because when you're standing across the court from each other or standing across the field from each other, it's the competition kicks in. It's like it's win or lose. It's me or you. And then I feel like when your brain recognizes that kicks your brain into another gear. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And makes you perform at a higher level. Like you're not gonna ever perform on that level in competition that you will in practice because there's something on the line.
Yeah, steel sharpens steel. That's a fact, bro.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I work with the people that I do because they going to push you.
Yeah. Because
at the end of the day, like, you can come on there bullshitting if you want. They going to take your head off. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you had to really come with your shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love if you I don't even want to say no names, but they don't ignite
you haven't tried to battle niggas before, nigga. You feel me? Niggas not really on that type of time. And
no,
I feel it too,
anymore,
because
yeah.
Niggas, you feel me, niggas trying to make music and get money and all that. You know what I mean? I'm not really a battle rapper, but we all, like, my era, we come from that mm-hmm. culture, though.
Yeah. Is that, you feel like that kind of really influenced you just to really take music serious?
Yeah.
Watching the battles?
I used to battle crazy, like, heavy when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, my first, like, taste of, like,
performance.
Yeah, exactly. My first taste of, like, performing, bro.
Yeah.
Because once when I seen, you know, what SU and them was doing, they would go to different schools and they would say, okay, who's the best rapper here?
Yeah.
You feel me? My homie, you battle him right now. Mm-hmm. That was the shit they was on years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, once, like, it's my senior year and I'm the nigga who rapping at school now, that's how I looked at it. Like, anybody who wanted to battle, I battle anybody. I go to any school and battle anybody. So,
you gotta have that mentality.
And in a lot of these battles, I was freestyling, bro.
Yeah,
it wasn't premeditated, and that's a different type of skill too, where you can, okay, we're gonna do three rounds, and niggas gonna memorize these three rounds and spit them with, you feel me, sharp.
Yeah.
You can't fuck up. You know what I mean? So that's a whole different skill in its own.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times we was just freestyle battling, bro.
Yeah.
And that shit, you gotta be on your toes and be right fucking with that.
Yeah, freestyling is like, I mean, we all try to freestyle, and that's fun though. It's fun that's a real life brain exercise, bro.
Man, I done came up with so much shit freestyling, bro, because you saying shit off the cuff, so it's like shit that you really won't, wouldn't think of writing down.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Didn't even know it was there in your brain.
Right. Different flows, all type of shit, bro.
Yeah. Oh man. This is a real insightful conversation so far, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, bro.
Right.
Let's switch gears, though. So how you feel about white people right now?
Bro. Hey, I want that. Hey, bro, are you white?
I'm Italian. I'm Italian, and my biological father was Peruvian, I guess. Mm. I don't know. I never met him. But, yeah, so I'm white. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm white.
Yeah, I must say. I ain't want to put that jacket on you because I'm like, he might be mixed with something and all that. But,
yeah, I mean.
But, you know, I don't have no disdain towards skin color, bro, at all. But, yeah. Hey, you feel me? Hey, the cops out there wilding. There's a lot of people out there wilding.
It's been going on for so long, though. People have been, like, it's almost weird that it's such a thing now because mm-hmm. it's been going on and it's been getting exposed for so long.
No, I'm gonna tell you what happened, bro. The people made it. We made it an issue.
Mm-hmm.
The people made it an issue. I won't say we, because I ain't the nigga. I went to a couple protests, but mm-hmm. there's people out there. They made the world pay attention, bro.
Yeah,
that's the only difference.
Why now? What do you think? Well, like, it's just, I mean, because like people been, I mean, celebrity, I mean, people with platforms been speaking up about it for a long time, but it seems like it's coming to a climax right now. Or is it gonna just? Is that just an illusion, and next year we're still going to be dealing with the same shit?
But for me, bro, shit for all of us, we ain't never seen nothing like this, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't never seen the whole world stop spinning like with the George Floyd situation, bro. We never seen that before.
Yeah.
So ain't no telling, bro. I feel like with where we are right now, bro, something has to change. And we're seeing a lot of shit change because for the first time in my lifetime, I'm seeing a lot of people take responsibility, bro, who never took responsibility before. We seeing billion-dollar companies be like, okay, look, this is what we're going to do because if we don't, it's gonna mess the money up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like you said, cancel. They getting people out of here, bro. It's brands getting – bro, they getting them out of here, bro. Yeah. So we ain't never seen – bro, look at the – bro, they not playing the NBA games, bro. Mm-hmm. We've never seen nothing like this.
NHL.
Bro. They got Kaepernick out of here, bro, for taking a knee.
Man.
The players said, we're not going to play. The entire league. The entire playoff said, we're not going to play, bro. We're not playing it to, you know what I mean? Give us some time. We're trying to figure this out. Bro, we ain't never seen nothing like that before, bro. Not over a social issue like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I think it is man, it's white people that have been oblivious for so long.
And to be real, the ignorance is real, bro.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of people, they didn't believe it. When they came out with these iPhones, bro, and they put the camera on the phone, that changed a lot of shit because we would always talk about how we were treated by police, and white people always, I don't want to say white people, but people who opposed it would always say, you did something to lead to that situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Trying to justify it. Yeah.
Bro, I was telling this story at the barbershop today, bro. The first time I ever got pulled over in my car, bro, my mom gave me my first car. It was a 97 Mustang, bro. Mm-hmm. Clean, had the chrome wheels, had the Cobra rims on the joint. You know what I'm saying? I was in traffic doing my thing, stick shift. You feel me? They had never seen a nigga at this capacity, bro. So I'm doing my thing, bro. I get pulled over. This is my first time ever getting pulled over, bro. I promise you, I swear on my life, the first thing he asked me was, how can you afford this car?
The fuck?
Not license and registration. Not, you feel me? Do you know why I pulled you over? None of that shit, bro. The first thing he asked me was, how can you afford this car? And that was the first time for me where I was like,
the fuck?
Bro, what the hell? Bro, what's going on right now, bro? Like, what kind of question is that? Yeah. I didn't even know how to answer. I'm like, bro, my mom gave it to me, bro. I don't know what you, I have a job. Are you asking me, do I have a job? I don't know what you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what are you getting at? Officer.
So, bro, but in the black community, bro, from the point that we're kids, bro, we taught not to fuck with police, bro, because you give any person, you feel me, some type of power, if they weird or they got some shit going on, they're gonna do some bullshit. And also, a lot of people are misinformed and they have you know, different ideas about certain people. And I feel like we all do. I feel like we all hold stereotypes and prejudice, but. Mm-hmm. When you in a certain position, now it's affecting someone's livelihood, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Your prejudice is dangerous now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for real. It's been ingrained in Americans' minds. Like black community has been demonized for so long.
Facts.
And I didn't really understand it until, like, I understood it. Because I, you know what I mean, growing up, and I had a lot of black friends. And, you know, I've witnessed it. I've witnessed my boy at Taco Bell on Centennial and Commerce, trying to get his change from the lady, and the Taco Bell lady called the police, and the police, no questions asked, hemmed him up and slammed him on the hood of the car, no questions asked. You know what I mean? And I've never been treated like that. You know what I'm saying? But my point is that what I was getting at was that, like, now I really understand how like deep it goes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting a little older and my brain can fully wrap my head around it, you know what I mean? But it's something that it's everybody. It's not like I think white people think it's not their problem, you know what I mean? Because it doesn't affect them directly, but it does, you know what I mean? And the way you have to really, a lot of white people, you have to check yourself on how you view, a black community or people of color or anything like that, you know? So
to me, I always tell people it's the same as, not the same, but it's similar to women talking about the different, you know, oppression that they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And as a man, it's like you don't understand, so it's hard for you to even get what they're saying.
Or,
And it's hard because you kind of feel like they're attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel me? You fucked up and you need to fix it. And it's like, bro, I didn't even do nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. And that's how I feel like, that's how a lot of white people feel. Like, I don't know, I don't understand what your anger is towards me. I've never done this. I've never done that. But it's a bigger system.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, the same way it is with police. Like, we might, you know, we can say good cop or bad cop, all of that. That's not what the discussion is. It's a bigger picture that's going on.
Exactly.
This whole thing is not working the right way. It's corrupt, bro.
Exactly. And it's just crazy how much people in power get away with.
bro.
You know what I'm saying? That's what's really frustrating.
With murder, bro, literally.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me not even want to live here.
Bro, but it's just, it's fucked up all around the world, bro.
It is.
But it's crazy in America, though, because it's like we had that perception of
the American dream, it's equal freedom and all that, but
it's people in third world countries looking at us like, damn, what the hell they got going on over there, bro?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of flaws in our American culture that we're going to have to get through and get past, especially when it comes to celebrities and status and, you know, and just power tripping. And that's the big thing, bro. People be tripping, power
be tripping.
I think, and that's a, I don't know, the whole police thing, that it needs to be obviously reformed. But I don't, well, if you was in power, if you was the guy to say, all right, this is what we're going to do. What would you do with the police?
Bro, I have no idea, bro.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Because a lot of people saying we need to defund it and you know, and reallocate this money and all of that.
For
but
sure.
At the same time, they saying the cops need better training and better this and that. And that both of those things can't happen, bro. So I don't know, bro.
Definitely need
something
better
needs
training.
To change, bro. Like you said, but at the end of the day, they say training and they need better psych evaluations and whoop-de-whoop. But, what training can you do with somebody to tell if they're racist?
True.
You know what I mean? And what training can you do with somebody to tell if they're too afraid to do their job?
Yeah.
You're too afraid to be out here, bro.
Yeah.
That's why you end up killing somebody because you're terrified, bro. And not saying that, it's a scary job to be a cop, bro. You never know what's
going to happen. Nobody forced you.
Exactly, bro. Yeah. So a lot of them, bro, it's not like I really hate black people, so I killed that man. Bro, you overreacted. And you have your finger on the trigger, but you made a mistake that you can't undo now.
Yeah.
It was a mistake. A lot of this time, bro, it's a mistake, bro.
Yeah.
Some shit happened. Why is your finger on the trigger? You already ready to shoot, and then you fuck around and shoot somebody, and it's like, damn, I really didn't mean to kill him, and now it's looking like I'm racist and all of this different stuff. But bro, it's a tough job, bro. It's a tough job.
It's the toughest job, and I think probably need to. I'm not gonna say that.
Yeah, you got a pod, bro. You better relax.
Nah,
you was gonna say that, and the lights was gonna go out instantly.
God damn.
Oh yeah,
no. But I think police officers, they definitely need to. I think whatever community you're patrolling, you should have to live there.
That's dangerous too, though.
It is dangerous.
It's dangerous because of corruption. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like how well are you gonna police a neighborhood that you know everybody in? And everybody know you.
Yeah.
I know where you live at. You know what I mean? I know when your kid go to school, like.
Yeah, that might not be a good idea.
That's dangerous too, bro. So it's not an easy answer, but something needs to change, nigga, drastically.
Yeah.
Because it's what's even crazier is that now cops know the whole world is watching, bro.
Yeah.
Whenever you stop somebody, pull somebody over, the whole world is watching, and they still killing niggas in the streets, bro.
And they still getting away with it. I don't understand how they get away with it.
Black women and black men, because, bro, it's, I don't know, bro. Ever since the Trayvon Martin shit, I was like, bruh, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't make sense, bro. It didn't make sense. I don't know, bro. It's scary, bro.
It's hella scary.
But like I said, I think the way that everybody has come together, the way people from different races have came together and spoken about it. This is the first time in my lifetime I've seen white people holding other white people accountable.
Yeah, for real.
Like, bro, like, you feel me? You bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I never had seen that before in my life.
Well, like you said, everybody's getting held. A lot of people are being held accountable.
Right.
If you say some racist shit, even something remotely racist on Twitter, and your job sees that shit, you come out of here, bro. And that's how it should be. Because we can't tolerate it. Because if you don't pull the plug, then you're complicit. You know? So it's like just don't fucking be racist. It's not that hard. Why are you racist? I don't get racism is so weird, bro. But
it's you born into it, bro. They teaching you this shit from 100%. The point that you were a kid.
And I think a lot of white people they don't have early exposure to other cultures. You know what I mean? So their first impression with somebody of color could be negative or could be positive, or it could be whatever they see on the media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that can affect how they treat people of color for the rest of their life. But if kids are exposed to each other, you know, from different cultures at a young age, and they grow up together, you know what I mean?
That's why it's just your
friend. Yeah.
The next generation is different, bro, because the internet, it linked everybody together, bro.
Yeah.
So they looking at it like, fuck you, dad. You feel me? This is my friend type shit. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I think all these old white people got to die. They got to die off.
It's like, you know, it's going to happen, you know, eventually. You know, I think they scared for their existence, bro. I feel like they feel like, you know, and it is a fact that, you know, the minority is becoming the majority in America, bro. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, they not feeling that shit, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah. And the president don't help, bro.
Yeah, nah. What are we going to do about this? I seen a sign that is like a presidential election sign, like in the yard, and it said, fuck them both, 2020. I felt that, bro. I'm so disappointed in America right now, bro. It's crazy. It's just like, this is who we got.
Bro, we going outside right now, bro.
We looking crazy, bro.
We got like the whole world is looking at America like, bro.
It's been fugazi this whole time.
But I learned that once you start traveling and going different places, bro. Like, we created that perception out here through our propaganda that we the best in the world.
Yeah.
You feel me? The rest of the world don't look at it like that.
Yeah, well, I think we are the best in the world for a lot of things. But I think it's too much of a blanket just to throw on the entire country that we're the best in the world, because it's not just like an encompassing term. It's like you have to be more specific, because we're very low on a lot of things.
Right.
So I don't know, man. I don't know, bro. I also kind of feel powerless in a sense, you know.
Yeah, because you kind of look at it like, you know, what can you do? But at the same time, you know, the attention that it's getting right now is because of the people, literally. The people literally did that, bro.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that gives me hope, and it makes me look at things a little differently, because at the end of the day, no matter how people felt about it, I was in LA when they was, you feel me, you know, the riots and all of that stuff was going on, or the looting or whatever you want to call it, any of that, bro. All of those different elements, you know, came together and made this happen to where the whole world had to pay attention to what was going on and what, you know, black and brown people were dealing with in America, bro. So, you feel me? But like I said, the people did that, bro. Yeah. The people, it wasn't no politician. It wasn't nobody made a speech. None of that, bro. The people made that happen, bro.
Yeah. I think, you know, and I have this love-hate relationship with social media.
Yeah.
And sometimes it pulls through and shows its power. You know,
social media is a monster, bro.
It's a monster. It's so powerful, and a lot of times it gets used for negative. But when it gets used for good, like exposing what's going on, you know what I mean?
It can move the tide, bro.
Yeah, man. How you feel about social media, like being on it, and what do you think it's doing to our brains?
I think it's terrible for us, bro. Honestly, I think it's terrible. I think it's information overload, bro.
Overload.
I had made a tweet the other day just talking about how, like, you really can just, in one scroll, bro, the type of shit that you would see, bro, from porn to somebody getting shot to
murder porn, bro. Murder porn.
Somebody making a bad joke.
Yeah,
hey, bro, it's crazy, bro. I don't think that's good for anybody, and you can't really police it. I mean, they're gonna try to, but at some point they're gonna try to. You know, you need a subscription for it or whatever the case. But I just feel like it's too many ideas. I don't feel like I should. I shouldn't be reading someone else's thoughts all day, bro. It's not good.
Yeah, no, I think.
It has its benefits, but it's a lot of negativity too.
That's what I'm saying too. I think everything is, you know, I hate quoting the Bible because I'm not a religious man, but I think the Bible says anything is okay in moderation. So I think we just spend too much time on it.
Oh yeah,
you know what
I mean? It's become a, you know, a way of life, bro. You wake up and you check your phone. It.
Man, you're getting addicted. You know what I think of? You know when I think of social media, like Instagram and shit, I think of it as the Wild Wild West. It's a new frontier.
Yeah.
You know, that hasn't been governed yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just got all these like Twitter, Facebook. These are all like outlaws running around this new frontier. Facts.
And you seen the situation with Facebook in regards to the last election, where they like, damn, like people can manipulate social media and change the world perception.
Did you watch that documentary?
Which one?
The Great Hack.
Nah, I never seen that.
Shit, bro, it's a company called Cambridge Analytica, and they like they basically like profile you based on what you like and what you click and all that, and basically they take all that data and they like work with the politicians for a hefty fee, and they push, like, they gear their messages based on your personality, and they had so much power to where they literally got Trump elected. And bro, it's called Cambridge Analytica. You gotta watch.
I didn't know the companies that was involved in all of that, bro. But I knew that was
yeah.
It was some tampering going on.
Because this girl, I forgot her name, but it's on Netflix. I encourage everybody to watch it. The Great Hack. But there was this girl. She kind of like went in undercover, I want to say, to this company and mm-hmm. was like a top person at this company. But then she ended up like exposing them at the end. Like all this shit is illegal. Like what do you can't. Like you're taking people's information illegally off the internet and using it to sway a presidential campaign. You know what I mean?
It's crazy, but that's the, bro. They're taking all of our data, bro.
Yeah.
And that's what's weird is that they pick and choose when it's okay and when it's not okay. But yeah. They're taking your data, bro.
Yeah, it's too powerful. What are you gonna do?
It's the same how you go buy something on Amazon and now it's an ad on your Facebook, bro. Yeah. They're selling your data, bro.
They're listening too, bro.
Oh yeah.
I be having to turn my phone off sometimes.
My OG told me that a long time ago. Back then, they would say, take the battery out. You feel me? Now you got to turn your whole joint off.
But even then, I still don't trust it to turn my battery out. I think I'm about to get a new phone, bro, or a flip phone or something.
That's why I might go back to the beeper, bro. Because at the end of the day, it's like, you think about, I was about to say that, hey, serious shit, but it might do the thing. But even that to where your phone is constantly recording, waiting for it to hear a certain wave, and then it'll start recording. That's nuts, bro. I mean, it can record whenever it wants to.
Yeah, it's listening. Bro, know, what? Bro. They gearing it. They getting us ready for the robots, bro.
Bro, and it'll be so easy, bro. Like, look at the kids, bro. The kids, they already got the iPads, bro. Fresh out the womb, bro. give them an iPad.
They're addicted. Yo, you try to take an iPad away from a little 4-year-old,
and they navigating it. Maybe 2 years old, navigating it, bro. Man. Getting around, bro. I'm like, bro, this is craziness.
Yeah, I don't like these parents just shoving screens in their kids' faces either, man. Tell your kid to go the fuck outside. You know what I'm saying? Scrape up his knee or something, you know?
Bro, it's a different time, bro.
But it's like I get it. Like, okay, you got to do your own shit. You're a parent. You know what I mean? You got shit to do. So sticking a screen in front of your kid's face to keep them occupied is the easy thing to do. But, like, don't let that little motherfucker sit there on the couch for 4 hours.
Right. You got to try to control it somehow.
Come on, man. But I see it. I see it a lot, bro. And because a lot of parents are young. Like, a lot of parents are our age. And
they trying to do their own thing. They trying to get their thing right. But
And we're addicted. They're addicted to the screens, too. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
because they trying to do something where they don't have to be watching them constantly.
Yeah.
And once they get to a point to where they realize I can navigate this and do, they don't want to watch TV no more mm-hmm. because they can't control the TV like they can YouTube.
Yeah, 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 man. I don't know, man. You gonna have kids?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Not right now, bro. The world looking shaky, bro.
You don't want a Rona baby, huh?
Yo. The world looking shaky, bro. Oh,
man. I don't know, bro. People saying we in the revelations right now. But
they didn't say that a few times.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about it the other day, bro. How many times have we said, bro, this is the end of the world, bro?
Like, we want it to be the end of the world.
The world is ending right now, bro. You believe we're running out of minutes, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think we are. I think we're destroying the planet. I mean, I don't think we're going to destroy. I think we're either going to kill ourselves with. Because we're not going to have another World War III. It's not going to be that. It's going to be.
We'll kill ourselves, but the Earth will still be spinning, bro. We'll be gone.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. We're going to end up exhausting our resources. Ain't no telling what's going to happen, bro.
Yeah, it's too many people, too. It's a good thing you ain't having the kids. We don't need all these motherfuckers walking around. I don't got no kids either. If I'm going to have kids, I'm going to have two. I'll be seeing people with. Man, we don't. Like, overpopulation is a real thing. You see it out here. Vegas is becoming the next LA.
Yeah, it's good, bro. It's crazy, bro. It's
so fucking crowded.
The city at half mast and it's still busy.
Bro, I hate it, bro. It used to never be traffic until like 4 years ago, 3 years ago. It used to never be traffic, bro. But back to the Bible. Are you a religious man?
Yeah, yeah.
You believe in the Bible?
Yeah, I do believe in the Bible,
wholeheartedly.
I do. I'll put it this way: the Bible is man-made. Mm-hmm. Obviously, someone put this together. Mm-hmm. So. I take it as someone took this knowledge and put it in one place, but it's people's rendition of, you know, different situations or mm-hmm. stories being retold or different mm-hmm. things like that. So I always looked at it like a work of art mm-hmm. to where it's a lot of interpretation is involved.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that's where it kind of gets a little, you know what I mean? But I do believe in the Bible, though.
Did you grow up in the church?
Not really, you know what I mean? As I got a little bit later in my, you know, older, I started to go to church a little bit more, but I went to church, and this is crazy, bro. Like, I went to church for a little bit when I was a kid, and then they found out the pastor was stealing, and then we didn't go to church for a while. You know what I mean? So then as I got older, you know, the family kind of started going to church again. So
yeah, it
was like one of those quick glimpses to see, like we said, power, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't, you know, when you run a church, it's a lot of power for a lot of people, bro.
Yeah,
you know
yeah, what I mean? Yeah. You're controlling people's beliefs.
You're controlling people's belief and money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people, they take advantage and do a lot of, you know, weird stuff. You know what I mean? So, but at the end of the day, they're just, they're people.
Yeah. See, so. I you know, the whole idea of church and like religion kind of, I mean, church, I don't like church. It's a business. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the pastors and, you know, whatever they are, praying on the poor, man, like making them feel guilty. You know, it's a lot of poor people in church, bro. You know what I mean? And they're making them feel guilty, like you got to pay your tithes and shit. And, okay, that's in the Bible, but like, bruh, like, you know what I'm saying? It's people's last shit out there, and they expecting to get something back tenfold. Yeah, is that what it says?
A lot of people don't know. You feel me? The church is for the people, by the people. Like, the church is running off of the people's tithes, off of people's donations. Like, that's what keep the lights on. That's what, you know, that's why the place, you know, is there. So I feel what you're saying, because sometimes I feel like, you know, the pastor will be up there going a little, you know what I'm saying? You know, he'd be kind of going hard, you know what I mean, with that collection plate.
Yeah, I guess you got to find a good church.
But it's a necessary evil. But I tell anybody, I feel like there's a church for every person.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Sure. A lot of people, like I said, for me, that could have been my last experience with church. It could have been my family's last experience with church. Like, bro, what did you feel me? He was stealing, whoop-de-whoop. You know what I mean? But, you know, I feel like there are places of worship that agree with everybody, depending on where you go. But it's a lot, but it's regular people that's running this, bro. Yeah, I always try to keep that in mind. These are regular people,
humans,
bro.
Yeah, and they're going through their own struggles too. And when there's humans involved, there's always going to be some bullshit involved.
Yeah, exactly,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Churches. A lot of young people, a lot of my peers, I know they don't go to church.
Yeah, mine too, bro. You feel me? But for me, it's like,
because it's a different fad now. It's like a different.
It's all, but you know, now we seeing people believing in a lot of different stuff. You know what I mean? So.
They all kind of talking about the same thing. Kinda.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it's like the whole like spirituality thing, like
the universe.
Yeah, yeah, all of that. So it's like, you know, it is what it is. But to me, if you have that, you know, some connection with a higher power, I feel like it's needed and whatever. But the only thing is that is, you feel me? Where do you get your morals from? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because for a lot of when you hear someone, well, I'm just spiritual. I don't really believe in a religion. You know, religion has rules to some extent. For other people, you know, I'm a spiritual person. So what's your moral compass?
Yeah, you don't really have no code of ethics.
You feel me? Not that you don't have one, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's people who are religious who, you know what I mean, who do a lot of shit that's against the code.
Yeah.
So who knows, bro? Yeah. Who knows? And when we die, who knows what will be after that? So ain't nobody living knows what's after death.
Yeah.
So we all, you know what I mean?
What do you think is after death?
I feel like life on Earth is like a small amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you die and you're born again, that's eternity. Whether what your eternity looks like, I feel like is contingent upon the life that you lived on Earth.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't know. You feel me? But that's what I think. I feel like if you're a good person, you feel me, the life that you live will create your afterlife. You feel me? I feel like if you're on some bullshit, you're a bad person, you did a lot of evil, you know, I feel like your afterlife will be a reflection of that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
So you do believe in the afterlife?
Yeah.
In the sense of like a biblical afterlife?
When I say that, I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's...
What about reincarnation?
I don't really know.
You don't think you're going to come back as like a frog or something?
I mean, but what's crazy is that, you feel me, maybe that's the afterlife.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll be here again. You feel me? I might be something else somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll be back on Earth again. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I do believe in energy to where maybe it's a version. You know what I mean? Like somehow you would meet somebody and they remind you of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like maybe pieces of energy is revisited. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's passed on people.
Yeah.
The same way like how you know your grandpa walked like your dad, and you and you feel me, and you walk like your dad now, even though you never met your grandpa.
Yeah.
It's like, I believe in like that type of stuff, but
that energy being transferred.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, cause
like I don't, but who knows? I don't know, bro.
Well, I think there's definitely some truth to that. I don't think it can be proven scientifically, but it's like, you know, you can just feel it. It's like an intuition. You know, it's like you know, somebody passes. You know, it's weird. Like, you know, you might go home, you might hear their voice, or you might, you know, you might see them out walking.
Right.
And then you tripping and you take a second look, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, I'm bugging.
That's happened to me like plenty of times. You know what I'm saying? It's creepy. And it's like, yo, there's something else going on, like a different frequency or a different dimension that's here, but you gotta be tapped in to see it, or I don't know, it can get a little trippy and a little scary too, but
I do believe that there's a spiritual world, you feel me, here with us at the same time, existing with the physical. I definitely believe in that.
Damn, that'd be crazy. What if you could walk into that motherfucker and just for a day, would you do it?
Nah, I'm Gucci, bro. Gucci.
You wouldn't step into the Matrix?
Nah, I'm cool, bro. I ain't trying to see that shit, bro.
Hey, man, I feel like this is what's going to happen, though, is that we're all going to become, these kids are going to be so addicted to their phones that they're going to get stuck on their phones. The phones are going to control them. It's going to be the Matrix. Movie Matrix is going to happen.
Bro, we on the way, bro. I believe that for sure. Yeah. I believe it's going to get to a point to where everybody talk about how they feel like we in a simulation now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get to a point to where they going to start doing simulations that become so real that people going to rather live that than their actual life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what's going to happen, bro. Once they get to the point to where it's a simulation that you can taste and feel and all, just like in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get to that point,
mm-hmm.
bro, people are going to be transitioning over to where, nigga, I'm not even living. I don't want to live life anymore. If you can just put me into this machine and I can have whatever I want,
fuck,
I'd rather do that.
Yeah. Would you rather do that?
Nah.
Don't sound too bad.
No, that's what I'm saying. You feel me? You presented the right. Man, I remember in the Matrix, he was like, bro, like.
But he couldn't get out.
Yeah, he said, bro, I want to eat steak, bro. You feel me? Like the one dude who was the traitor, I forgot what bro's name was, but he the one who sold everybody out. He was like, bro, I don't want to be in the real world eating that bullshit grits, whatever y'all got over there. I want to eat steak, and I know this isn't real, but I'd rather live this shit. You feel me? And I feel like a lot of people, shit, we do it every day. That's what social media is. It's like a lot of people are simulating their lives through social media.
Yeah, perpetuating themselves in a way that's not really,
you know what I'm saying,
real life. Yeah. Oh man, it's too much to comprehend, to wrap my head around. Like you said, it's information overload.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What do you think about aliens, though?
It's aliens, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
It's aliens.
They're part of the simulation.
Bro, I seen a UFO, bro, the other day.
Hey, you know what is a crazy line that's been keeps coming up in my head from Cannabis. You know, you listen to Cannabis. He said, "You need to fear science, not Satan." Mm. That shit's just been replaying in my head, bro.
And didn't the Gov just come out and say, "Hey, yeah, we got aliens, bro"?
Yeah, he made his what's that album? But I forgot what it's called. But I think it's called Cannabis. But that Channel Zero song, you remember that?
No, I don't know that record.
Tune in to Channel Zero, and he talks about the 12 scientists that got shipped in from all around the world to study the alien ships and all that. And
I've heard that too. They said they had Nazi doctors and all of these. Yeah, all right, bro. It's aliens here, bro. And they probably on Earth already, bro. I'm gonna keep it a buck.
I think they look like us for real.
Yeah, by this time.
You an alien?
Nah, not currently.
You sure? are you under like a confidentiality agreement?
Ain't no telling, bro. And it's crazy because you would never know, bro.
Isn't that it, bro? If I was the government and an alien said, okay, they came here and they said, all right, if you don't want me to terminate your entire planet, you're gonna allow a few of us to come and study you guys and live amongst you guys, and we're going to take the shape of you. And then, but you were like, okay, well, if you don't want to go to war, if you're the government, you don't want to go to war, then I'm going to be like, all right, but you guys got to sign this NDA. You can't tell nobody. Yeah, you can't tell nobody who you are.
Nah, bro, it's aliens.
I could be an alien.
Too many people then came forward and said it and had stories. Like I said, I done seen shit, bro, to where it's like, Bro, yeah. I was in the north and seeing some shit in the sky. Like, bro, what the hell is that, bro?
Yeah.
You feel me? What is that, bro? You feel me? Then it disappeared. I'm like,
hey, we're at hey, over, hey, down here, it's southern Nevada. We're in a alien hotspot down here, bro.
Bro, it's way to, the universe is way too big, bro, for us
it's
to be.
It's way too big.
You feel me? The only intelligent life like that.
Yeah. I think we're stupid as fuck. We're way behind.
Yeah, bro. What's up, bro? Where do you think Velcro came from, bro? Look, I do believe, bro.
I never thought about it.
No, I always like, cause bro, I was big on like X Files and all that shit when I was a kid. I used to watch that shit heavy.
Agent Scully,
bro.
Come on,
but
man.
I really believe, like, bro, we got some of our technology from some other shit, bro.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying, bro? I don't know, but I think they came and seen us. I don't even think we went to the moon. I don't think we've been anywhere like that, bro. Maybe sent some other shit, but I don't feel like we sent people there. You feel me?
You don't think we ever been to the moon?
Nah, I don't believe it, bro.
If you had a chance to go to space, would you?
Nah, I'm Gucci, bro. What's popping up there?
Just a view.
Just to find out if the Earth is flat or not?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm cool, bro.
I would go to the orbit. I would go up to the orbit and come right back
down. When I was my senior year in high school, bro, I had honors physics in the last day of school. He showed us a documentary, and the whole documentary was about how we never landed on the moon, right? So
it fucked you up.
No, but Pete, listen to this shit though. It's like a 45-minute documentary, right? And they give you all the evidence to say, bro, we didn't go to the moon. Mm-hmm. And then within the last 5 minutes, it goes and disproves everything that it just said.
Yeah.
Pretty much saying like you can be convinced of anything. All the evidence that they gave you, they went back and said how we can say that evidence is false. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those type of things where it's like, damn. So,
yeah.
And then the movie ended, and it's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if we win or not.
Damn. We're so easily influenced, bro.
Bro, that footage looks ridiculous. The moon footage looks ridiculous, bro. I know it was a while ago,
Fugazi.
Bro. Bro, I don't know, bro.
Damn, they hired Hollywood and a whole bunch of shit.
Bro.
Hey, I feel like now we're gonna start getting these like confessions. These old dudes that was
they be doing it, bro. Yeah. Bro, it happens all the time. Yeah. People have came forward and said, bro, all of these different things, like, yo, this is what's going on, and then you know they get discredited, I will say, or they disappear.
Yeah, they whoever's in. I mean, it's just that. I don't know, man. I don't know. It'd be tough to be in power, being a government, because I would probably want, you don't want to invoke panic.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not
they
like
can, they controlling a lot of shit, bro. They can. Yeah. That's one of the biggest things I feel like with here in other countries is they controlling shit like other countries are, but they're doing it in a better way, to where it kind of like it's like underneath your nose. Like that manipulation is still there. But instead of like saying like you have to do this, I'm gonna make it feel like it was your idea.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It makes me just wanna go live in the woods, bro. I'm gonna keep it real.
Bruh. Like I said, I just be chilling. I try not to get too, you know,
get into it.
Yeah, too caught up, you know, lost in the woods and all this because, you know, it'll have you tripping out, bro.
Yeah, too much, bro. I think we'll wrap it up. I think that was cool.
Hey.
That was great, bro. Was it been like an hour, probably? Anything you want to plug before we get out? Anything else you want to talk about before we get up out of here?
Bruh, I'm trying to think, bro. You feel me? I mean, go listen to all my music. You feel me? T.RABB, T-Rab.
Come on, man.
You know, go check me out at The Truth Rab on all of the social media, all of those different things. And, I mean, shit, you feel me? That's about that. Arrest the cops, you know what I mean, who killed Breonna Taylor. You know what I mean? Arrest the cops who killed
Jacob Blake,
and I think that's it, bro. I mean, not killed, bro. He's alive still.
Oh yeah.
But arrest those cops. You feel me? Who shot him 7 times in the back? You know what I mean? He may be paralyzed and won't be able to walk again.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you coming through, brother.
Bro, I appreciate you having me, bro.
Chill. We gotta do it again. There's some shit we didn't get to that I want to get to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But we'll do it again.
We can run it back.
All right, man. I appreciate you, brother.
Already.
All right, man. Yeah. Yeah, rap.